Well, hey there, you are listening to the Gateway Tipton podcast. Today's message is Steve's second in a series called Park. It's all about angels, especially the ones who show up with messages during the Christmas story. All right, let's get started. Hey, I'm Kelly. Thanks for listening. You know, we publish new episodes pretty much every week. For those that missed a message, want to hear it again, or maybe even share it with a friend. For more information about Gateway or to view show notes, visit gatewaytipton.com. Now, here's the message.
Well, I hope you guys paid close attention to the words of that last song. Isn't that a great song? You know, there are a lot of ways in today's world that we receive messages. So let's name some of them. How do we receive messages today? Text message, probably the main one, right? What else? Emails. What else? Snail mail. You still get letters in the mail occasionally, right? Did you guys know that some people actually use their phone and actually talk to people on the phone, right? Lots of ways, singing telegrams. If you want to go with a Christmas theme, Buddy the Elf used an Etch-a-Sketch to send a message. George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life gets a message from a guy named Clarence, who is what? An angel, right? Last week we learned that the word angel means what? It means messenger. And if you were here last week, you know that we tried to dispel some of the myths and cultural ideas about angels. And we asked some questions. Are they real? Who are they? What do they do? Can we see them? Do we interact with them? We talked about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, which seems to indicate the possibility that we might entertain angels today unaware of their identity. But in the end, we kind of landed with a definition of an angel. And we didn't have it up on the screen for you last week, but I want to put it up today. An angel is a created, spiritual, powerful being that stands before the presence of God and carries out God's commands, delivering messages and waging war in the spiritual realms. And I would add, on our behalf. Okay? So the Bible's clear about that. And all throughout the Bible, God used angels as messengers. And last week we looked at what I think is the first Christmas message, Gabriel the angel, his visit to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we said that first message was this: God is calling His people back. God is calling His people back. Today, we're going to look at another of those Christmas messages from the angels. Now, you remember back in high school when you had a book report to do, but you sort of ran out of time to finish reading the book? What did we do? Cliff Notes. Where would we be without Cliff's Notes, right? And what they did was just give us a summary of the book, kind of without reading it. Now, it would be hard to summarize, right, the Bible. It would be hard to summarize it, but if you tried to do it, it might go something like this. God desired a relationship with people like us. Sin broke that relationship, and so God moved throughout history to restore that broken relationship, right? God desires a relationship with people like us. Sin broke that relationship, and so God has been moving throughout history to restore that broken relationship. And so in a very simple way and a broad way, that's an outline of God's movement in the Bible. And so God goes to an ancient guy named Abraham. And He says, Abraham, I'm going to make out of you a huge nation. Even though you're old and childless, I'm going to make in you a huge family. And your descendants are going to be like the sand of the seashore. From your line, your family tree, Abraham, is going to come someone that is going to restore this broken relationship. In fact, all of the nations on earth, Abraham, will be blessed through you. That's Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. And so, one of the messages of the angels at Christmas is just that. A Savior is coming. A Savior is coming. Hang on. The Messiah is on His way. It won't be long. It's about to happen. And that message is about to be delivered to a girl named what? Mary. God longs for this relationship with us. We broke it with our sin. And so God has been moving right behind the scenes throughout all of history. And He is about to restore that broken relationship with people. And so that is what I would say the second message today is this. The Savior is coming. Now this happens again through the angel Gabriel, the same angel we read about and studied about last week, that delivers this message to a young girl named Mary. The name Gabriel literally means God is great. Wouldn't you love if you were an angel to have that name, right? God is great. And again, he's only one of only two angels other than Lucifer that are named in the Bible. Who is the other one? Michael, the archangel, right? Gabriel appears three times really in the Bible named, once in Daniel, once in our story from last week, and then once where he appears to Mary that we're going to study today. And every time Gabriel shows up, he talks about the Savior. Every time Gabriel shows up, he is pointing to the fact that the Savior is coming. So if you guys have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to put most of these up on the screen for you. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. We're going to see this encounter of Gabriel with Mary. Luke 1, 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, I've had been fortunate enough to be in Nazareth. And Nazareth in Jesus' day was tiny, maybe 200 people. Now, Nazareth is a sprawling town. I mean, it's got sprawling places where people live and buildings and businesses and all kinds of things. But in Jesus' day, it was a tiny village, maybe a couple of hundred people. And so that's where this takes place. It says, "In Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David." Now, why is it important that Joseph is of the house of David? It's important because the Messiah had been prophesied to come through the line of David, right? And so that's mentioned here. The virgin's name was Mary. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was" what? Troubled, right? Wouldn't you be, right? "At his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was." Why is he here, right? "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid.'" That's because that's what angels say, okay? "'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus," right? Jesus, Yeshua, the one that would save his people from their sins. "And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob," how long? "Forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is not a normal person. This is not a normal king. All right, verse 34, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Mary simply says, "Look, how can this be true, because I have not even known a man?" In verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is sent to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." We talked about that last week. "And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Guys, that's one of the messages of Christmas right there. With God, nothing will be impossible. "And Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, can you imagine getting a message from an angel? Can you imagine getting that message, ladies, from an angel? And the fact that you have an angel delivering this message is absolutely impressive. But I want to tell you what is really impressive here to me is this young girl's response to that message. You know, anytime God speaks to us, no matter what the message is or how it is delivered to us, the most important thing is how do we respond to the message that God gives us. And as I have looked at Mary this week, I have realized that I have a whole lot to learn from maybe a 15 or 16-year-old little girl in how I respond to God and how I respond to His messages to me. So real simple today, three things that we learn from Mary's response to the angel. Number one, soak in the moments. Soak in the moments. Now, after Gabriel leaves Mary, it all begins to happen, right? This pregnancy becomes real. She then has to explain that to everyone. Think about it. Her parents, her friends, her fiancé Joseph, who really has no reason to believe her. Before them is a long journey thanks to a greedy emperor who only wanted taxes. They get there and they find out that Expedia has messed up their reservations, right? They don't have a place booked. Everything is booked up and they have to stay in a cave, right, where the animals live. There's no nurse there to help with the delivery. There's no cute little onesie to put the baby in. In fact, they have to wrap him, the Bible says, in rags that they could find. And they place that little newborn baby in a feeding trough that the animals used to eat their food. And then suddenly strangers arrive out of the darkness that smell like the animals with some tale about angels appearing to them in the field. And you can just imagine. But after all of that, if you will look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, after all of that, I want you to look at Mary. It says, but Mary kept all of these things and pondered them. A better translation is she treasured them in her heart. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's cool right there. In the middle of all of the chaos, in the middle of all of the stuff that's going on, Mary steps back and she looks at it all and she says, wow, now what a moment. She stops and she soaks it in and she treasures it, and I'm never going to forget these events and these things that are happening to me. You ever had one of those moments in your life? A moment where you just wanted to stop everything, you just wanted to save the mental picture and all of the feelings that you were experiencing and just soak it in. And as I thought this week, my life's been full of those. Thought about my wedding. Thought about the birth of both of my children. I actually thought about the first time I saw the Grand Canyon and looked out over. I just want to always remember that. My daughter's wedding. So many things involving my family, so many things that I've done, and I just wanted to stay in that moment. Things you just want to hold up history, right, and just stay there and soak it all in. And one of the things that I think I've learned from Mary this week is that we need to learn how to soak those moments in, don't we? To treasure them more, to ponder those things in our hearts. You know, on kind of a lighter and more secular note, as a University of Memphis football fan, I had that experience recently as my team won a championship for the first time ever, I think. And I thought, there we go, some Tiger fans. But you know, I really thought to myself, as all that was going on, and they were shooting the confetti guns and all that, I thought, you know, I would really like to just stay here for a while. I would just like to enjoy this because this may never happen again. You know, as a Tiger fan, I just want to be there and I want to enjoy it. And I'm joking about that a little bit because that sort of thing ought to happen a lot more than it does. It ought to happen every time we look at a sunset or a sunrise. It ought to happen when we go to the beach and we look at the majesty of the ocean. It ought to happen when we're in the mountains and we look around at the creation of God. It ought to happen when we look into the eyes of a little newborn baby. And guys, I want to tell you something today. It ought to happen every single time that we give ourselves over to the worship of a great God. When He speaks to us. You know, guys, it's easy for us to just go through life and do life and somehow miss those sacred moments. And I think one of the things that the Lord has shown me this week through Mary is that I am not amazed enough with God. And I'm not amazed enough at the things that He has done and is doing in my life and the moments that He gives. And I've learned this week that I need to treasure more. I need to ponder more. I need to soak it all in more. So soak in the moments. Number two, second thing we learn from Mary, rejoice over the moments. Rejoice over the moments. If you will look at chapter 1 again and look back at verse 46, after the message of the angel, okay, Mary begins to sing. And you know it's a song by the way it's written in your Bibles, okay? It's called the Magnificat, right? And it's Mary's response to the message of the angel. Look, just listen to it, okay? And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And she just breaks out in song, right? Her heart was so full of gratitude that worship and praise just spilled out of her. I would love to learn to live my life that way. To have a heart that was so full of gratitude and joy that when life happens, when the moments of life happen, that my response, what comes out of me is worship the way Mary worships here. That I would openly give my praise to God. You know, Mary here, she has the message of a coming child revealed to her as the Savior, and it was big, and she could not help but let it out. But I want you to think for the moment, guys, the message that we have. Because we have not just the message of a coming Savior, not just of a child that was to be born, but of one that has been born. A Savior, not just of one that was coming, but one that has come and that wasn't just born, right? But lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death on my behalf and on your behalf, was raised on the third day. The one that accomplished everything that He was sent to do to restore the relationship between God and man, between me and my Heavenly Father. And all that God had planned has happened in this child. That's the message that we have. Right? If anyone has a reason to sing and to worship spontaneously in the moments of life, we have the message that ought to do it. Max Lucado wrote about a woman who owned a little parakeet named Chippy. Chippy loved to sing. One day, as the lady was cleaning out Chippy's cage, he did it normally with the vacuum cleaner. Chippy would fly up to the top of the cage. And so this particular day, she was cleaning the cage out and the phone rang. And she left the vacuum cleaner in a cage. Chippy evidently forgot what was going on. And I got sucked into the vacuum cleaner. And so when she realized what happened, she ran to the bag, opened it up, and pulled Chippy out. Chippy was covered up with all kinds of junk, you know. So in a panic, she runs to the kitchen sink, turns the water on full blast, boom, puts Chippy underneath the water, full blast, tries to get all the stuff off, and believe it or not, Chippy survives all of this. So she puts Chippy back in the cage. A couple of days later, a neighbor who knew about this called to check on Chippy, and she said, "Well, he's alive, but he just sits in his cage and stares out into space." She said, "You know, Chippy doesn't sing anymore." Now, sometimes, I know, so sad. Sometimes we might feel a little bit like Chippy, right? Stuff happens in our life, maybe stuff out of our control, stuff that somebody else does to us, stuff that we can't understand, stuff that we bring on ourselves. And what happens is that in our life, sometimes the song that is in our hearts can get stolen and ripped away, right? And we just don't feel like singing anymore. But guys, part of the message of Christmas, right, is that there is a message of a Savior, that there's one that came, and as Jay said earlier, is coming again. And it is that message that ought to restore a stolen song. Okay? Psalm 98:1 says, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. Colossians 3:16 is a great verse to look at for this. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That just means let it overflow in you in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. Now here's what it does. Here's what the message does, okay? It's admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What happens when you get the message, man? It flows out of your heart in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what happens here to Mary, right? If you have a grateful heart, it ought to flow out of you, and Mary couldn't help it. And I want to talk for just a second about worship right here in this place. God's given us a worship leader, and a worship leader that loves the Lord deeply. And I feel like it's my responsibility to follow His lead when we worship. And I know, especially men, all right, we struggle sometimes with the singing part of this, right? And if you're kind of new to church, you might even say, well, why all the singing, right? Why all the music and that kind of thing? Well, this is the reason. I heard a man say not too long ago that he was a jailhouse singer. He's always behind a few bars and can't find the key, right? Let me explain how I think this works, because I understand that we struggle sometimes. You guys struggle less than the early service, okay? But let me just tell you how I think this works. When your children bring stuff home from school, like artwork and that kind of thing, what do? With it? You put it on the refrigerator, right? You display it. And when friends come over, you say, my kid did that, right? Now, is it a masterpiece most of the time? Yeah. Probably not, but in your mind it is, right? In your mind it's a masterpiece. You're ready to show it off. And Jay, I'm sure this is not biblical. You can correct me, but I think that in heaven there's a giant refrigerator door. And when we sing praises to the Lord, somehow between here and there, it gets transposed into this beautiful thing, right, that God wants to put on His refrigerator and say, man, my kids sang that. My kids did that. And what I want to say to you is, all right, if you don't like to sing, sing anyway. If you can't sing, sing anyway. It's all right. Join the choir. Right? Here's the point, okay? Listen. There ought to be a song in us. There ought to be a song in us, and we ought to let it go, and we ought to let it out. And here, when Mary hears the message, when she understands what's going on, even what little bit she got, right, it was just coming out of her. And if you look at it, it resulted in fullness and peace. So soak in the moments, rejoice in the moments, worship the Lord in them. And then number three, surrender the moments. Surrender the moments. In response to the message, Mary surrenders. Did you hear it in chapter 1 and verse 38? Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Once she got past the fact that there was an angel standing in front of her, once she got past all the confusion and fear, she simply says back to Gabriel, Gabriel, and I don't think she got everything at this point, but she simply says, right, I am God's servant. And she was saying to him, God, whatever it is that you want to do in my life, I'm all in, I'm ready. She didn't know how that was going to happen. She didn't know what it would look like completely, but she simply surrendered to the Lord. That word maidservant literally means, I am your slave. I'm your slave. What you have said about me, Gabriel, a moment ago, just let it happen. Just let it happen. Now, that was no small surrender for Mary. Do you understand what she was risking? She was risking, first of all, rejection of her entire family. The stigma in that culture was unbelievable for something like this. And I'm sure that in our sterile picture of the Christmas story, our thought is that when Mary revealed that she was pregnant, that everyone just bought the story and said, hey, that's cool, Mary. But the reality of the situation is that it's very, very likely that that she was believed about like you would believe your 15-year-old daughter that came home with the same story, right? She was risking family rejection. She was risking public disapproval. Imagine the gossip in a small town of a couple of hundred people that could not possibly understand, right, what had really happened to her. She was risking the potential loss of her fiancé. When she agreed to what Gabriel had said, she's basically saying, I am willing to lose my husband to follow you, God. And guys, that was not a minor thing. As a righteous man in this day, Joseph would have never understood. He would not have married her under these circumstances. She was not just losing her husband in her mind by doing this. For in that culture, the livelihood of a woman depended upon having a man in her life that could support her. And so not only would Joseph have had nothing to do with her, neither would have any of the young men in the town have had anything to do with Mary in this situation. So she's saying no to any economic future for the rest of her life. Thankfully, right, God stepped in and let Joseph know what was going on because of the circumstance. And he, of course, receives her. But she didn't know that, guys. What she's risking, she was risking the possible loss of her life. In this day, it could have meant stoning. It could have meant death by strangulation. In that religious culture, if you were the daughter of a priest in this situation, you could be burned to death. Now, we think that's awful, but do you realize that 2,000 years later in that part of the world, if you were in the right place at the right time, you could be stoned to death today for the very same thing. Her life could have been on the line. She risked everything that really mattered, family, reputation, love, her marriage, even her own life, in order to say yes to God. Now that's total submission, isn't it? God, whatever it is that you want in my life, that's what I want. You see, God chose Mary, but in a very real way, Mary chose God too. She chose His will, His way. The angel laid it out there, and Mary made a choice. She said, let it be as you have said in my life. I will let your plan happen in my life. And in doing so, she opened the door to the miraculous in her life by submitting herself to God. Guys, I would say to you, God is looking today for those that are willing to risk it all, to say yes to Him, no matter what He wants in your life. I would just ask you, have you done that? Young people, you live in a world and in a culture today that a halfway commitment to Jesus Christ is going to get you overwhelmed in the flood of this world. God is calling you to say to Him what Mary said, God, whatever it is in my life, whatever it is that you've got for me, man, I am all in because I trust you. Because I know what you want to do in my life. And Mary says that with all these question marks. She says yes to God with all of her heart. Trust means I am convinced of the reliability of God. As I thought about things this week, we live in a world where we want clarity, don't we? We want to know what's ahead for us. We want to know what tomorrow is going to bring. Even in the kind of TVs that we buy, we want what? We want clear picture. We want vibrancy. We want clarity. We want to be able to see everything. That's the world that we live in. As I thought about Mary here, Mary didn't have any of that. She had no clarity. Maybe we should pray less for clarity in our lives and more for a deeper trust in God. Because you know, in asking for clarity about everything, we might be trying to minimize the risk that's involved with following God. We might be avoiding a call that is on all of our lives to walk by faith and not by sight.
And I love that part of Mary's response here, because she didn't have clarity. She didn't have focus. She didn't know the details. In fact, she had no idea how all of this was going to play out. She didn't foresee a long road trip on a donkey, did she? She didn't foresee her baby being born in a cave. And certainly she didn't foresee his death 33 years later on a cross at this point. And yet, not having any clarity, she simply responds in trust and surrender. Whatever it is that you say, so be it in my life. She surrendered her moments to the leadership of a reliable God. To trust is to be convinced of the reliability of God. I read a story this week about a guy named Stephen Trotter. And if you've seen these folks that try to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel, right? That's been done a few times successfully. Stephen Trotter is one of those guys. And so he came up with an idea. He's done this several times. He came up with an idea that he wanted to go down over Niagara Falls in a barrel, but with someone else in the barrel, like more than one person. And so somehow he convinced a really good friend, I'm thinking, to get in a barrel with him. They devised kind of a high-tech barrel to go over the falls. And so I was reading the story. There's one thing that stood out to me. It said that, of course, when you're in a barrel, somebody else has to put you in the river, right? And so he had some friends that rolled him and his friend in a barrel into the river. And it said that it took 15 seconds to get from where they were to where they would drop off into the falls. Now, I'm gonna pause for just a second for 15 seconds. You ready? Now, did that not seem like forever? That's the most awkward thing I've ever done in the pulpit, right? Here's the point that I want to make. It seemed like forever. 15 seconds. For 15 seconds, just 15 seconds, they had no control over anything. No control where they floated. No control who went down over the falls first. You know, are you going first or am I going first? Who's face down? They had no control over any of that for all of that time. And as I thought about that, and it may sound strange, but that's the way that I want to learn to walk with the Lord. Not in a haphazard way, obviously, but I want to throw my life into the stream of God's wisdom and His reliability and go wherever that flow would take me. And I can do that for one reason. It's because I have a reliable God. And I want to be able to say to Him every day, God, I'm your servant. My life is in your hands. And whatever you have for my life, that's what I want. I said that first to God at about 15 years of age. And I had no clue where God would lead me. I certainly had no idea that I would be doing what I'm doing now. Here's the thing. I wish that I could stay in that place of always being surrendered to the Lord for my life, whatever He wants. It's hard, isn't it? I wish that I could stay there. So what do we learn from Mary? Soak in the moments. Don't miss them. Rejoice in the moments. When God works and God speaks, rejoice in those moments. And then surrender the moments of your life to a reliable God. God desired a relationship with His people like us. Sin broke that relationship, and God has been working behind the scenes and out in the open to restore that relationship. Gabriel came to Mary with the message, Mary, Savior is coming to restore that relationship. We have a better message. A Savior has come to restore my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And today, that's the greatest message right today would be, if you've never reached out and received this relationship with God offered to you through Jesus Christ, that because of our sin we can never have any other way, then I would encourage you today to receive the Savior that has come, that lived a perfect life as your perfect sacrifice, that died on the cross when nobody else could have done that for you.
was raised again on the third day to defeat death and hell and the grave in your life, and offers you today eternal life with Him. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, once again, and one more time, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the way it speaks to us. And Father, I do pray today that You would help us to soak in the beautiful moments of life, especially this Christmas. Soak in the message of Christmas, to rejoice in it, to worship You because of all that You have done and all that You are. And then would You grant us grace, Father, to surrender the moments of our lives to You. And Father, if there's anybody in this place today that would say, Brother Steve, my relationship with God, I know it's been broken because of my sin, and I don't have a relationship with God because of that, but today I realize that a Savior's come, and that He offers me forgiveness, that He offers me grace in the face of my mistakes, in the face of my sin. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that needs to take a step and say, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I need to surrender myself, my life, my moments to Him as my only way, my only chance, Lord, would You give them grace to do that today? So we love You and thank You for being with us this morning. Pray that You'd work during our time of invitation, that we would be obedient to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks for listening. If you are ready to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to connect with you in person or even on social media. We're Gateway Tipton on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.